Blog Talk Radio.
Voice of Destiny brings you your favorite Christian authors, speakers, and filmmakers each week. Listen in as our guests teach and encourage, listeners share their stories, and we go live to the front lines of what God is doing across the world. Now, get ready for the Voice of Destiny.
Well, this is Larry Sparks with Voice of Destiny, and I'm going to pose a question to our listeners that might just challenge you a little bit. Are you okay with being out of sorts? Now, immediately we hear language like that, like, no, I don't want to be out of sorts. I want to be normal. I want everything to make sense. I want Christianity neatly packaged in something that I can explain, that I feel comfortable with. But you know what? Is that a God who compels us? Is that a God who fills us with awe and wonder when we kind of neatly tie bows around our spirituality and feel like, you know what, I feel like I've got God figured out and I'm just cool to kind of coast the rest of my Christian life? Well, my guest today, Sarah Vesey, I believe she has a message in her new book that is going to challenge the status quo, that's going to challenge that perspective. And this new book that she's just released, Out of Sorts, it is a prophetic invitation to reconsider faith. You know, another author I really enjoy, Rachel Held Evans, talks about the concept of bringing back the weirdness of the faith. Now, people are like, I don't want anything weird. I don't want anything strange. I want everything to just be comfortable. I want a God I can wrap my mind around. And you know what? That sounds good. And some people might be content with that, or they think they might be content. But at the end of the day, I really believe for those of you who are listening, and I can tell you on behalf of the gentleman myself who is speaking to you, I have a hunger and a quest inside of me that there's got to be more. And praise God, the God we all pursue and the God we love, there's more of him because he's God. He's great. He's enormous. And Sarah, thank you so much for writing this book to call us, to summon us, to know God as he is.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate that.
And you know, just to let our listeners know, this book, Out of Sorts, I consider it an invitation to this quest for more of God. And, you know, one of the first things you write about, I was reading this on the airplane, and the first thing it just struck me is this concept of a second naivety. Can you explain that? And why do we really need that today?
Well, it was something that actually I experienced before I even had the language for it. I don't know if you've ever had something like that happen where the
yeah.
Spirit brings you to some new revelation or some new understanding, and then later on you find out, oh, well, there's actually other people who have been here, and this is good to know.
Yes.
And so for me that happened around, you know, a lot around my spiritual journey where my parents were first-generation Christians, and, you know, we call that season of your life or your initial introduction to faith, your first naivete. This is from a thinker and philosopher named Paul Ricoeur. And then you kind of go through this season that he called critical distance. And for me, that I called that season my wilderness because it meant that I had this season of my life where the things that used to make sense weren't making sense anymore. And the answers that I thought I had suddenly felt insufficient. And I felt like I maybe didn't know Jesus the way that I could. And I didn't feel like I understood what church was or why it was there and what this all meant in my life. What about signs and wonders? What about scripture? I mean, all these different things that I thought I had this, you know, neatly organized index card answer sheet. And
yeah.
Instead, I found myself in this liminal place of saying, I don't really know anymore what I think about any of these things. And so then what I found is on the other side of that wilderness was deliverance. There was a second naivete is what they call it, this sense of being born again all over again, where you have wrestled with what you believe, you have wrestled with God even. And then on the other side of that, you find this sweetness of renewal, the wonder, the curiosity, and even an open-handedness of saying, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Maybe I think it's dangerous if I ever do think I have it all figured out. And instead you have room in your relationship with God and your understanding of those things to have a recapturing of a bit of wildness and a bit of wonder and a bit of mystery. And it's an exciting and beautiful place to be.
Well, and you know what? I was just reading again. I mean, around the same place in the book you quote, Richard Rohr, who writes, "The same passion which leads us away from God can also lead us back to God and to our true selves." And, you know, as you're just talking about that, Sarah, I was thinking, you know, some of the language that I think that we use in evangelical Christianity that can be a bit polarizing is this language of backsliding, of this person who, well, they were, at one point, they were very close to God, and now it's like they're in a wilderness, and we kind of ostracize them a little bit for being in the wilderness. But this question is kind of off the cuff. Could you just kind of address that subject of backsliding and how it can actually be a beautiful setup for God to really be breaking into somebody's life? I mean, that's what I see when I read your book.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that is something that – I think that's part of the reason why maybe we don't shepherd people well in this season of their life, because that's one thing I've learned since – you know, not only since walking through it myself, but then through, you know, telling that story and talking to a lot of other people who have, you know, experienced something similar, and then even research and learning, is that this is very good. It's a good season of your life. It's part of your spiritual journey and your formation to do that. This is part of maturing. And so when you have this kind of divisive, polarizing, belittling language around it, like, oh, they're backslidden because they didn't go to the church that you think they should go to, or, you know, whatever else, or maybe they find a new way of experiencing God than just, you know, a 20-minute quiet time in the morning or whatever. And I'm not at all trying to belittle that. I mean, I, you know, certainly find myself there a lot as well, but it's more, is Jesus big enough to be waiting in that space for you? Is it possible that there is, the Spirit is not only willing to meet you there, but longing to meet you in those questions, and that is a place where you will experience rebirth and renewal and change, even though maybe it looks very different than that first naivete of when you thought you had, you know, everything kind of neatly packaged. The Spirit has a way of disrupting our preferences and our opinions.
Well, and I just want to say this to you, Sarah, and for those of you who are listening, if you feel like you're in that, for our listeners, if you feel like you're in that wilderness season, and maybe people have said that kind of language over you, well, you know, that person's backsliding, or maybe they're not saying that to you, but you get that feeling from either the church community or, you know, Christianity in general, I really want to encourage you to read this book, because, again, what you've done, Sarah, is you've presented, for lack of a better word, a treatise for people. Just to let all you guys out there know, this book doesn't belittle anything. Like Sarah was just saying, you know, I'm not trying to belittle certain things. This book is written with grace, with gentleness, tenderness, humility, but also I see it as a very strong summons. So if you feel like you're in the wilderness with God and, you know, it's like, you know, what my previous experiences with God, I'm just not there. I feel kind of out of sorts. I feel like I don't fit in with where I currently am. I believe this book is going to stir your hunger into a new place, into a new season with God. And Rachel, again, Rachel Held Evans is another voice who I know you are both summoning the body of Christ. You're summoning people to this. So, Sarah, let me ask you this question. What does it mean to be out of sorts, and why is that okay? In fact, why is it the best thing for us to be out of sorts?
Well, I think that, you know, when I define it, or, you know, it was kind of a bit of a, you know, a joke, because that's what I used to say. You know, when people used to, you know, at a certain time in my life, you know, when everything was very black and white and clear to me, people would say, you know, often, you know, oh, how's your walk with God? And, the right answer is always, oh, it's wonderful. Everything's going beautifully. And I found myself in that season of saying, oh, I feel a bit out of sorts, actually. Yeah, I feel like I'm not really who I was before, but I'm not yet sure where I'm headed or who I'm becoming. I feel like everything that used to make sense sort of doesn't. And so, I mean, one of the things I think that is, you know, the summons there, or what my heart was in writing the book, above all else, was not to say, oh, you don't have all the answers. Here's a nice new set for you, you know, and you're going to now think exactly the same way that I do about, you know, the things that I've wrestled with. It was more to say, you know what, you have permission to lean into it, and that the Spirit is breathing in those places and in that question, that that is the place where you will encounter God. You will not, you know, encounter God, I think, by spiritual and intellectual dishonesty. You know, pretending isn't a fruit of the Spirit. And so if you have questions or you have pain or you have things that have, you know, kind of launched you into that. And that's, I think, another aspect of it is oftentimes we come into those seasons of our life on the threshold of some grief or some loss or some change that has happened. And so instead of denying that, can you meet God there? And then is it possible for you to understand that you are just as loved in that place as when you thought you had everything right?
Wow. And, you know, immediately I think of the scripture, I think it's in Psalm 84, where it talks about God taking the valley of Baca in Hebrew, the valley of weeping, and turning it into a place of refreshing spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I see your book, Sarah, doing that for people. I see people using this book while they're going through a season of just being either disenfranchised with Christianity or the organized church. And again, your book is not, just to let all you guys out there know, the book is not one of these, you know, anti-church books. It's not one of these books that says, you know, just get away from the church, go and live off in the mountains or the desert somewhere.
If I had written it 10 years ago, it might have sounded like that. But thankfully, I lived a little bit longer into some answers.
And you are honest about that, though, and that is what we need. That is what I needed reading through this. All of us have our own baggage. All of us have our own kind of church stories, Christianity stories, and it's so refreshing there to have your voice sharing your story with all of the, its transparency, all of the ups, the downs, the lows. It really helps so many people. So let me ask you this, and I love this language. I think you got it from Phyllis Tickle, that God is bringing his people, individually and collectively, into this holy rummage sale. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, I love that. So Phyllis Tickle was a theologian. She actually just passed away, amazing woman of God, such a great leader in every way. But one of the things that she used to talk about, she was more of a church historian, and she was teaching a class on church history at a conference I was at, and she used this language of saying, well, you know, every 500 years or so, the church has this big rummage sale. And it was kind of a light way of talking about what happened with the Great Schism and the Great Reformation, where we kind of have these seasons every 500 years or so where we sort through as a church who we are. What do we want to keep? What do we want to release? What do we need to let go of? What are some things that maybe we thought were junk, but really we want to hang on to them because they're actually turned out to be very precious to us, or, you know, those types of things. And so her idea was that we are on the brink of that again, that we are moving into a new season. She called it the age of the Spirit. The Great Emergence was other language that she used, and she identified that as a church, we were in a one of those tipping point seasons for this, you know, 100 years or so. Sorry, that's my daughter. My little son is here with me. She wanted to have something to say about that, too.
That's good.
So one of the things that she said was that the church was sort of in this season, and when she said that, something in me just kind of leaped up, and I thought, well, the church is us. Right, the church isn't just some nebulous, you know, institution with a, you know, top-down ideas of, you know, here's what the institution says and what the institution doesn't say. Instead, the church is actually us. It's all of us. It's we're it. And so, in order for the church to be experiencing this rummage sale, it makes sense then that all of us are sort of doing that in our own lives. And so that was where I kind of got my brain thinking, and I thought, well, there's lots of things I've done that with. Where I've looked at, you know, what I believe about community or what I believe about heaven or what I believe about, you know, the Bible or Jesus. I have sorted through that because I felt out of sorts. I felt like, what do I need to keep? What do I need to toss?
Yeah.
What do I need to repurpose? What are some places where I have thought that this was useless to me, but instead I discovered it's actually very beautiful to me? And so having that language and that idea really helped me understand what I was doing and what that season of my life was, and that the reason and the purpose for that was to clear out space for the new to come. That it wasn't just about getting rid of junk. It was about not being against things anymore, but deciding, what am I for? What am I? What are my best hopes? What is it that I want to be living into and the better story I want to be telling once I've cleared out some space?
Wow. Wow. And now, was there a certain catalyst that started that journey for you? Was there a series of things, a certain thing? How did that all get initiated for you?
You know, it was probably something that I think that, like most people, you know, you head towards in a series of steps.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very rarely any one moment that kind of is this massive catalyst to you wanting to sort out your entire understanding of the universe or what else. You know, and so for me it was, you know, now I look back on, you know, from the perspective of, okay, I walked with the Lord for, you know, 30 years, and I can see now, you know, what this meant and how these different changes and things kind of moved me moment by moment into that place. But I think one of probably the bigger things that really, you know, shifted me, I think, really deeply into that season where I really felt like I kind of crossed this threshold of saying, you know what, I either got to figure this out or I'm out. It's either burn it down or something needs to happen here. And so for me, that season was when my husband and I were experiencing a lot of miscarriages. We lost a lot of babies before birth, four, and I felt like there wasn't room for my grief in church.
Mm.
That there wasn't room for the fact that it wasn't working for me and that I was unable to feel it. I didn't know what to do with it. I felt forgotten by God. I felt like I didn't fit the narrative anymore. You know, all those different things where I thought, you know what, I've had all these questions and I kept kind of stuffing them into the closet for as long as I could. But then that was the point where I felt like I opened the closet and everything crashed down on my head.
Mm.
But there was a lot of things that were already in there to begin with. And
wow.
So then I was left with this sort of debris and saying, well, now what? You know, what do I need to get rid of? I need to clear out some space. I need to get this sorted out. And sometimes that took a lot longer than I expected. And it took me in directions I never expected. Like for the church, for instance, I thought for sure that I had evolved past church. I thought that I didn't need it anymore, that I was so grown up and so spiritually mature that it was just, you know, new expressions and those are old traditions and, you know, just whatever else. And I kind of, you know, thought that that was where I was going to end up. But the funny thing about the Spirit is that oftentimes you end up sort of corkscrewing around the same stories. And all you're doing is really returning to see it with new eyes again and fresh eyes. And I don't think anybody was more surprised than I was to find myself back in church, at a school gym, with people waving flags, you know, singing a lot of the same songs that I grew up singing, and yet feeling like I was seeing it with new eyes for the first time, like that second nativity. I felt like I'd been born again all over again, and all of a sudden I was this church lady, and I loved every minute of it. It was the funniest thing, and I just love how, you know, we've got to leave some room for being surprised in our own story.
Well, and again, to let our specific audience know, I mean, and I gave you some context to this, Sarah, a lot of the people that listen to our broadcast, a lot of people just that we're associated with are from the charismatic movement. That's what we do as far as what we publish. So what I love about your book and why I'm really honored to recommend it to our audience is you kind of had a taste of every river, every stream. What I love, though, is sometimes people in seasons of disappointment, which you experienced in a way I'm sure many can relate to, I'm sure there are some who can't relate to that, but you experienced disappointment. What moves me reading your story, reading your testimony and your response to God is that you didn't let your disappointment redefine your theology. You didn't say, well, because I have this disappointment, I am not going to make prayers of declaration or confession anymore, or I'm not going to make prayers of faith anymore. But I love how you're putting it all together, the sovereignty of God. I mean, just recognizing that, you know, God cannot be lumped into a box. He cannot be lumped into a word of faith box. He can't be lumped into a kind of a reformed high sovereignty view box. He's God. And I get that majesty. I mean, just reading your book, I get your awe. I feel your awe for the total picture of God's majesty. So you offer the body of Christ so much, specifically just our community as well. So really thank you for taking that approach.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? It's my home, right? I mean, those are my roots. My roots are in the charismatic, you know, word of faith. That's that's home for me. So that might have been my embarking point. But I think one of the things that I've really been struck by in the conversations that I've had about the book and with people throughout this journey is how few of us find those old labels useful anymore. And how we are beginning to understand that all these different streams have something to offer us and have something good to give us, and that it's not a matter of just saying, okay, here's my tribe, us four no more, but instead, you know, what is it that I have to learn? What is it that we can we be teachable? And then at the same time, you know, what do we have to offer?
Yeah.
You know, I have been really amazed at how many people who come from maybe more mainline or traditional understandings of church, and yet their deep interest in the spirit and in a lot of the things that we kind of thought was our area, well, you know what? God will not be contained.
Yes.
And so we end up finding God and the spirit in all these different places in all these different ways, and it only can bring greater richness and unity and connection in the body of Christ as a whole. I think there's something really beautiful to that.
Yeah. There are many points, especially reading through the Wild Goose chapter, and I'm not going to give it all away, but again, for those of you who are in the camp of the Spirit, Pentecostal, charismatic, I believe that chapter is a must read. Buy the book just for that, and then read the rest of the book. You will be blessed. But I found myself reading at times just through the book, and I wanted to get up and just run around and wave a flag. I mean, just I'm just grateful in all seriousness, Sarah, for your perspective, and I do believe in what God is doing in this moment in history. He's doing exactly what you said. There's a great convergence of streams. There's a great convergence. There's one river. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, and it's wonderful to see his fingerprint in every expression of Christianity, mm-hmm. from high liturgy, although we all have a liturgy, from sacrament to the supernatural. He's present, and there's so much to glean from it all, and your book really summons us and encourages us to do that. So as we finish up, I love the quote you had from Brennan Manning. A mystic is a person whose life is ruled by thirst. And you know what? We never graduate. Just to let our listeners know, we never graduate. I never graduate. You never graduate from being thirsty for God. So Sarah, what does it mean to be thirsty for God? And what does that kind of look like expressed in your life?
Well, you know, for me, I think that I've always been thirsty. You know, I think there's always been this sense of in my soul of just this really deep longing for the Spirit, longing for God. You know, I look back on it and it's kind of quite funny to think, you know, I was a rather over spiritual or over serious 7-year-old, you know, just me grappling with some of those things maybe. But, you know, I look back on it now and I think, you know, during that season of my life that I kind of call that wilderness, I think that was the thing I missed the most was the wonder.
Mm.
And was that sense of the supernatural, that sense of there being more to life than what I could just see and experience. And yet, what did that mean? And I think that what I found was in that desert or in that wilderness is that I was longing to be called again. I was longing to hear the voice of God again, even though I didn't know what that even meant anymore. And so for me, it was having my heart or my spirit or my ears or my understanding, whatever it is you want to kind of language you want to use for that, tuned into that frequency meant that I knew even in that place when I didn't know I was hearing God, that there was an openness and a leading that was happening. And in Scripture, it tells us that, you know, you'll hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Yeah.
And for me, I really felt like that was something that looking back now through the lens of, you know, 15 years, 10 years later, being able to see, yes, you know what, the Spirit was in those very things that I was fighting, and my freedom was waiting on the other side of it. But I thought that I must be missing something. I didn't understand that God could meet me in that place, that God was leading me in that place. And so that was definitely, you know, something that I look back on, and I'm just so thankful for that. I think that now that's really how I encounter it. That's how I feel about God. That's how I feel about the Spirit. It's just still that longing and that sense of curiosity and wonder. The idea of being an explorer and a pioneer is really amazing to me. Isaiah 35 was a chapter of Scripture that I really wrestled with a lot while I was writing the book, and it talks about how in the desert there will be streams of living water.
Yeah.
Those places that are barren will become a place of flowers and growth and newness, and that we can be energized and strengthened, that we should take courage. And I look on that and I think, you know what, if you're in that place of feeling like you're in exile, you're suffering, you are, you know, take heart. and have courage, because there are streams of water that will meet you in that desert.
Wow. Wow. Let me ask this last question. For somebody who is either getting ready to read your book, or somebody who's actually maybe even reading your book right now, and their appetite for God has been whetted, their thirst for God has been awakened, and they're saying, I'm thirsty for God, you know, what can I do, where do I start? And that's a loaded question. That is a loaded question. None of us can provide a comprehensive, detailed formula. But Sarah, what instruction, just what from the heart of you know, one a sister to a brother in Christ, or a sister to a sister in Christ, what would you say to somebody who wants to start on that journey, whose hunger has been awakened for God?
You know, you're right. It is such a difficult question to answer, because really we start from such different places.
Yeah.
And so there's no way we would really end up in the same place often. But for me, all I can say is that it started and recentered, and everything began again with Jesus.
Hmm.
That when I lost sight of everything through, you know, what felt like a lot of clutter at times, Jesus became the only thing that made sense to my broken heart. And so everything for me was resurrected there on who is Jesus? What does it mean to be a friend of God? What does it mean to walk with God? I will walk now anywhere as long as I am near him.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me that was really, and continues to be, the center for me of everything. I mean, church and this and that and whatever else. It's like, great, you know what, we'll figure all that out eventually, or maybe not, or whatever. I'm sure there's still a lot of places where I'm wrong. But for me, walking with Jesus and knowing Jesus and having that renewal and understanding, I mean, I honestly felt like I didn't even know who he was. I knew so much more about church than I knew about Jesus. And if I wanted to be a follower of Jesus, I guess I thought I'd better figure out what that meant. And so for me, that reoriented everything in my life, because he was able to hold both the light and the dark, the hope and the grief, all those different things and experiences of being fully human and yet redeemed. I mean, it was all there in Jesus.
Wow. Wow. And again, for all of our listeners, I mean, in the book, I mean, she really explains and expresses her journey of going back to Jesus, rereading the gospel from a fresh perspective and letting them challenge us, because we have painted a picture of who we think Jesus is. And the good news is, I believe for many of us, he wants to take some of those pictures and radically transform them, you know, and we may get a little concerned about that, but the good thing is he's always going to do it by the Holy Spirit, always going to bring it into another level of true accuracy, not how somebody else has told you about Jesus, maybe not how a tradition or a denominational context has taught you about Jesus, not saying any of those are bad. I believe he is bringing you, he's bringing me, he's bringing the body of Christ into a greater revelation and understanding and unveiling of Jesus. So, Sarah, that's just that is a great starting place. That's great wisdom. Again, thank you so much for being with us on the program today. You know what? Your book really, it awakens thirst for more of God, but I think it gives people language. It gives them language to put to their own quest for God, whether they're in the wilderness, whether they've been branded as the backslider, or whether somebody who's like you said, you know, you're a church girl. I love being in church. I love being happy and clappy and waving the flag. I believe this book will call and summon everyone in the body of Christ who reads it into a greater place of experiencing and knowing the more of God. So thank you, Sarah, for giving us this gift in this book.
Thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate it. What a great conversation.
And for all of you who want to know more about Sarah, I encourage you, go to sarahbessie.com. That's her blog. That's real. I mean, she is an author and she is an avid blogger. So Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Bessie, B-E-S-S-E-Y.com. And there you can read her just latest blog post update. And, you know, those I believe are going to be a tremendous encouragement to you. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter, all those great places. But again, the book is called Out of Sorts. You can buy it wherever books are sold. And I've seen it many times just going to my various bookstores. So it's there, and I believe it is calling us. The message of that book is calling us. It is a due season message that is reserved for this hour for you, calling us all into a deeper place of faith and encounter with God. But you know what? We're never going to encounter the more of God unless we start going on that quest for more. We won't We'll encounter more if we stay right where we've always been and done things the way we've always done them. So, again, book is out of sorts. I believe it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. So thank you all for listening in and joining us today, me and Sarah Bessie, on this episode of Voice of Destiny.
This has been the Voice of Destiny, your trusted source for the latest spirit-filled resources for your everyday life. Thanks again for listening.